Please have a seat, everyone. Good morning. It's great to be here and to share something with you. Please open up in your Bibles to Psalm 130. I'm going to read all of it. But while you're doing that, full disclosure, I will be making reference to verses in this psalm, particularly 5 through 8. But this will be more of a topical message than an expositional one. So if you have a problem with topical sermons, I'm sorry. I guess it's just not your day. But let's look at this wonderful psalm together. Psalm 130, a song of ascents. This is God's word. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Well, please pray with me. Father, we do indeed hope in your word as we wait upon you. We pray that you might speak to us through your word, give us encouragement, give us direction, shine light upon our lives, that we may understand your ways, your often mysterious ways, but that we may know you better. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. There are many things that people in our society today are not good at. One thing people are not good at, I learned recently, is adulting. Adulting refers to the everyday activities associated with being an adult, like opening a bank account, cooking a meal, taking a car for an inspection, and so on. Apparently, many Gen Zs are so bad at adulting that you can now take courses in adulting to help you live like a grown-up. Another thing that people are not good at today is waiting. Our culture has reached the point where really any kind of waiting is considered a bad thing. We order something from Amazon and we expect it to arrive the next day, and if it doesn't, well, we feel kind of cheated. We go to the drive-through, we speak our order into the intercom, we go to the first window to pay, and then we expect our food to be handed over immediately as we reach the second window. We click on a link in our web browser and expect the next page to appear fully formed within a fraction of a second, blissfully forgetful of the days of dial-up modems when you had to wait 10 seconds just for a single image to load. Some of you have no idea what I'm talking about. We are not good at waiting. Now, we might think that children are the worst offenders here. Recently, my son persuaded me to buy a Lego set that was being sold at a discount. He thought this was a good deal. I said, sure, yeah, I'll order it, but you won't actually get it until you've earned the money to pay for it. Okay, he said. Then the package arrived, and suddenly the negotiations began. Well, that money I already got for walking that neighbor's dog could count toward it, and I could wash the cars over the next few weeks, and I could take some money temporarily out of savings, so maybe I could just get it now. It was like someone had given him a copy of The Art of the Deal. But the more I thought about it, I realized I'm not much better. I'm allergic to waiting, too. If I'm sitting at traffic lights at an intersection, and there's one car in front of me, and the light goes green, if that car doesn't move within 3 seconds, my hand is poised over the horn. Maybe you know that experience too. We are not good at waiting. The Bible, however, has a lot to say about waiting. Scripture frequently talks about how the people of God have to wait for things. In particular, the people of God have to wait for God. They have to wait for the Lord. Wait for the Lord to deliver, for the Lord to heal, for the Lord to vindicate, for the Lord to redeem, for the Lord simply to answer. Our psalm this morning, Psalm 130, provides just one example of this, talking about waiting. Verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. So since we're not good at waiting, but the Bible says a lot about waiting, I want this morning to briefly sketch out what I'm going to call a theology of waiting. And it really is just a sketch, just a brief sketch, but hopefully it'll be a helpful one that will maybe provoke some further reflection of your own. So, four points, short, simple points. Here's the first. Waiting is normal. Waiting is normal. Waiting is normal in the Christian life in much the way that suffering is normal in the Christian life. You'll remember what the Apostle Peter wrote in his first epistle, chapter 4. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. We might say the same thing about waiting. Do not be surprised when the Lord makes you wait for him as though something strange is happening to you. Waiting is the normal experience of the believer, of the one who trusts in God. If the Psalms are the handbook for Christian experience, then we can hardly miss it. 18 times across the Psalms, the psalmist speaks of waiting for the Lord. And those are just the times when the actual word wait is explicitly used. There are many other times in the Psalms where the writer's experience of waiting or longing is expressed in even more evocative language. And then in the New Testament, believers are often described as people who are waiting, primarily as those who are waiting for the return of Christ. But if you think about it, every time believers are exhorted to persist in prayer, to persevere in prayer, that implies that we are waiting, waiting on the Lord. So waiting is the normal experience of the Christian. It is standard procedure. It is the default setting for the Christian, at least in this life. Now, one implication of that is that if your experience of the Christian life is not characterized by waiting for the Lord, well, you might want to ask yourself, why not? So waiting is normal. Second, waiting is necessary. Waiting is necessary. You've almost certainly had the experience of being made to wait for what seems to be no good reason. You're standing at the hotel front desk, waiting for service. You can see the receptionist in the back room, just sitting there, doing nothing. Or you're sitting in traffic on the highway, crawling along, thinking, oh, there must be an accident or there must be roadworks ahead. And then, as this traffic eventually speeds up again, you discover, no, there's nothing there at all. Nothing, no reason whatsoever. You call up customer service. You immediately get put on hold, and after 5 minutes of listening to synthesizer music from the 80s, the line just click, disconnects. What was that about? Pointless. We've all had experiences of pointless waiting. But with God, there is no such thing as pointless waiting. With God, there is no such thing as needless waiting. If God makes us wait, it's only because it is necessary for his good purposes. God always has a good reason. Now, we should know this because God is a supremely rational being. God doesn't do things for no good reason. God has good reasons, indeed the best reasons, for everything that he does. And so whenever God's people find themselves waiting, it's always, always because that waiting is necessary for God to accomplish his good purposes. In fact, we see this principle writ large in the events of redemptive history. The Israelites had to sojourn in Egypt for 400 years before receiving the promised land because, as God told Abraham, the iniquity of the Amorites was not yet complete. That was part of the reason Moses had to spend 40 years, a long time, in Midian before being called to lead the Israelites out of slavery. Centuries later, Israel had to wait 70 years to return from exile. And then there were another 400 years of waiting before the promised Messiah was born. Why did Simeon have to spend his life waiting for the consolation of Israel? Why did Anna have to spend her life waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem? Because the world wasn't ready yet. Galatians 4, verse 4. In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman. Why didn't God send his son earlier? Because it wasn't the fullness of time. The waiting was necessary. The waiting was necessary until, in God's wisdom, the time was right. And what is true at the level of redemptive history is also true, I would suggest, at the level of our individual lives. God often makes us wait, and his timing is perfect. Now, the fact that there are always divine reasons for our waiting doesn't mean that we can always see what those reasons are. Sometimes God reveals his reasons, but most often he doesn't. And when God doesn't reveal his reasons to us, guess what? He has reasons for that too. God always has his reasons. But because God is perfect in wisdom and goodness, we can trust that he always has his reasons. In other words, we can trust that whenever God makes us wait, it is because the waiting is necessary. So waiting is normal, waiting is necessary. Third, waiting is hard. Waiting is hard, or if you want to continue the alliteration, waiting is not easy. Waiting for the Lord is not easy. Waiting for the Lord to satisfy our deepest longings is especially hard. Indeed, waiting can be painful, can be a painful experience. And we know this is true from our own experiences. Many of us know the hardship of waiting. Waiting for physical healing, waiting for emotional healing, waiting for a prodigal child to return to the Lord, waiting for the restoration of a broken relationship, waiting for the pain of a deep felt loss to subside, waiting for that thorn in your flesh, to be taken away, waiting for a call to ministry after you've spent years preparing for it. Waiting for an answer to that prayer that you've been offering up for years and years. Waiting for the Lord is hard. But the Lord knows this full well. God is not oblivious to the hardship of waiting. We know this not least because the Bible frequently acknowledges it. In fact, the biblical writers often express it in the most emotive terms. How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Just consider how many times we encounter that plea in Scripture. How long, O Lord? But that plea is placed on the lips of God's people by the Holy Spirit, who groans with us in our waiting, Romans 8. What is more, we know that our Heavenly Father cares about the hardship of waiting because in his word he frequently provides encouragements and exhortations to persevere in prayer. Every single verse in Scripture that encourages us to continue in prayer, to persist in prayer, to persevere in prayer, that is a word from the Lord that says, I know it's hard. Above all, we can be confident God knows that waiting is hard because God the Son, the second person of the Trinity, condescended to take a frail human nature and to experience every kind of hardship that we ourselves experience. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. So waiting is normal, it is necessary, it is hard. Fourthly and finally, waiting is never in vain. Waiting is never in vain. We've all had the experience, I'm sure, of waiting for something and being disappointed. Disappointed because when it shows up, it's not what we expected or hoped for. Or disappointed sometimes because it never shows up at all. I don't want to mention DoorDash by name, but, well, I think I just did. But waiting for the Lord is never in vain. Waiting for the Lord is never in vain. The Lord never disappoints us in the end. Let me give you just three quick reasons why waiting for the Lord is never in vain. Three reasons why waiting for the Lord is never in vain. First, God always delivers. God always delivers. And if he doesn't deliver what we ask for, it's only because he has something even better prepared for us. Consider some of these promises from Scripture. Psalm 37, those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Isaiah 30, the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. Isaiah 49, those who wait for the Lord shall not be put to shame. Lamentations 3, the Lord is good to those who wait for him. God always delivers. Secondly, waiting is never in vain because, and I want you to think about this, the waiting itself is good for us. The waiting itself is good for us. The waiting itself is producing in us the fruit of steadfastness. The waiting itself is part of our sanctification. God makes us wait because he wants to make us holy. That's the second reason. And thirdly, waiting is never in vain because the most important thing the Lord wants to give us when we wait for him is himself. When we wait for the Lord, we are not merely waiting for the Lord to do something for us. We are waiting for the Lord himself. The Lord himself is our very great reward. Just consider that when the New Testament speaks about believers waiting, what are they most often said to be waiting for? We are waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus 2:13. We are waiting for the joy of eternal fellowship with the triune God through Jesus Christ, who is our righteousness and our sanctification and our redemption. That's what we're waiting for. Look again, look back at our psalm. This time, look at the last two verses. What is the psalmist waiting for? O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption, and he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. That is his promise to us. So, in conclusion, waiting is normal, waiting is necessary, waiting is hard, and the Lord knows it. But he also knows what is best for us. And our waiting is never in vain. If you've ever called a service provider and been kept on hold for what feels like an eternity, you know the first four words that you will hear when you finally get through. Thank you for waiting. Thank you for waiting. When we receive what the Lord has in store for us, when we finally see him face to face, we won't hear him say, thank you for waiting. Rather, I suspect that we will be saying to him, thank you, Lord, for making me wait. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the promises of your word, the encouragements, the exhortations. We thank you for the precious and very great promises, all of which are yes and amen in our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you always have prepared for us what is best, and ultimately you have prepared for us yourself in fellowship with you. So we pray this morning that you might help us to be better waiters. We ask in Christ's name. Amen.